Dear Flabby, I'm in my mid-30s, and I'm happily married to a great guy. We have a beautiful 2-year-old daughter who is the joy of our lives. By day, I work as a financial planner, and I make a healthy income. My husband is a stockbroker at a national firm. He makes more than I do, so money is not an issue between us at all. The issue lies with our nanny. I think she has a crush on my husband. A woman can tell. I have seen the way she looks at him. Lately, she's been wearing nicer clothes and taking time to apply makeup and put on a touch of perfume when she comes over.
Hello, Mr. E's father!
No, she's not like that. I'm just going to describe her for you. It's not like that.
Nannies are hot and young these days, yeah. At least the ones I've come across.
Have you interviewed her?
Well, no, not for me, but Emily goes to daycare.
Anybody with a talking umbrella knocked at your door recently?
No. We're not in the market for a nanny.
Just a spoonful of sugar.
A couple of Emily's friends have nannies, and they're not old women. They're ladies in their early 20s.
So this woman there's a hot nanny at their house, and she says, in a way, it's kind of cute. She's a freshman in college, and I think she's kind of innocent about the ways of the world. We've known her family for years. She's had few boyfriends, none serious. I should also mention that the nanny looks like a slightly younger version of Kate Hudson. Yeah, that's a different picture. My girlfriend thinks I should fire this nanny immediately and replace her. Even though I've told her, hey, there's no way my husband would risk his marriage and our relationship with her parents for a fling with an 18-year-old. There's just no way. Not my guy. No way, no how.
Because he's not from this planet.
No.
Yes.
Came here from the planet Straight Guy.
I'm reluctant to let the nanny go because this is the only job she has. She's relying on the money to help her get through school. Her family doesn't have the financial resources to help her out with college. Here are my questions. Should I fire the nanny? Should I talk to her? Am I naive? Is this just a little puppy love that she's being a little flirtatious? Remember, my husband hasn't responded, and I know he wouldn't. Could it be a real problem in the future? I would appreciate any advice your listeners can offer, especially if they've been in any sort of similar situation. Baffled in Bellevue.
And they called it puppy love.
They're in their mid-30s, happily married, a dual-income couple. Husband makes more than 6 figures. Wife makes close to 6 figures. So they have what lots of people wish they had, a nanny. And she's a friend of the family's daughter. So it's not easy to fire her. She's kind of cute. She looks like a young Kate Hudson. And she's making eyes at this woman's husband. No moves, no specific, nothing's happened. She doesn't think anything would happen, but she sees the way this nanny, who looks like a younger Kate Hudson, looks at her husband. Girlfriend says, fire the nanny. Can't do that. Friends of the family daughter. No good reason. So what are the other options? One option is to maybe talk to the nanny. Yeah, there's all sorts of negatives in that, too. Yeah? You're shaking your head.
I would say, no. How old is the nanny?
18.
18.
I would talk to the husband.
You know,
not that I have a
husband.
You
know I'll kill you, right?
And if you talk
to him, darling, you see this knife? You know I'll kill you,
oh,
right?
Oh, great.
Yeah. You can call me Lorena.
Isn't it sweet the way she follows around like a puppy? You know I'll kill you.
Is that maybe that's what, I mean, because... That's a possibility. Sally's also here. Sally, can you tell us? Sally's from our CBS show in Rochester, the Brother Reese show.
Yeah.
And Sally goes home tomorrow.
I do.
Being here a month with her sister. Sally, you have any... You're closer to the nanny age here.
Well, I would agree with her, except the only thing is what's not mentioned in the letter is whether or not the wife... whether or not the husband acknowledges this crush. The wife has noticed it. Mm. The women notice these things, but the husband has not. She might not want to go putting ideas in his head that this hot little 18-year-old wants him.
Oh, you think so? Really? I noticed.
Might
I thought
put a
she
little
just didn't like shower doors. I didn't notice.
Might put a fantasy in his head that he didn't have before.
But is there anything? Here's where I would be. Oh, God, she's probably listening. All right, here's where I would be. I'm not going to do anything, never would. Mm. Well, the fantasy in my head, hey, give me something. You know, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with a little fantasy? Even if it's never, ever, you know, if it's more likely that I'm going to meet Shrek and the Fairy Godmother in person than anything's ever going to really happen, then...
What's the harm?
No harm, no foul. Isn't that the expression?
Yeah, I would think, you know, I'd say, sweetie, if the lust for me in her mind helps her clean our bathroom and take care of our kid a little better because...
I want this bathroom clean in case I ever have Joe in here. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. That plays out.
It's not in a million years going to happen to me, but...
Joe, you don't, you know, we've been down this road before, and you're one hot piece of mountain love.
Well, maybe for older mountain women, but not for
you're too hard on yourself nannies. There. There's a lot of gals that would love to take an expedition out there. Here's C in Seattle. C, hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Good.
Might as well tell what I think.
No, say what someone else thinks. Go ahead.
Well, I think that they should just bring it out in the open. I think that the wife should just talk to the guy or the husband right away and say, hey, what are your feelings on this? Because, I mean, he's probably feeling it, too. If she's picking up the vibes, and he's probably feeling it, and he's probably thinking about it. I mean, they're married, they're getting older. You know, guys have thoughts about younger women.
When they talk, what would they exactly say?
Well... It definitely have to be non-confrontational. Mm. Like, you can't just be like, well, why don't you just go, you know, do something. But I don't know. You know, they'd have to, depend on how they interact with each other, depending on how they communicate.
Let's say your wife told you this. What's your response?
My response would be that, yeah, I thought about it. You know, and what a...
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I noticed, yeah.
That would be my response, I think.
You
if
are
it were
kidding
true.
Me.
In fact, I had this whole fantasy where I'd kill you off. I mean, just because we're talking about healthy fantasies and all that. Yeah, I got this little piece of beachfront property down there on the Oregon coast.
Oh, boy.
I pour a concrete slab over here.
I like to think that after, you know, 6 million years of marriage, we could just say stuff like that.
But they haven't had 6 million years of marriage.
No, they're in their mid-30s. And you know what? You're right. That's very important.
Yeah, that's you don't want to mess with that.
And if anybody thinks a guy hasn't noticed that an 18-year-old's got a crush on him, I mean,
yeah,
I've noticed,
stupid.
But I don't think my husband's noticed. Yeah, okay, only Walt Disney is a married guy who wouldn't notice because he's dead and frozen.
See, thank you. Kathy in Kent. Kathy, go ahead.
Yeah, she definitely needs to say something to her.
To the girl.
Oh, absolutely. You know how it takes a village to raise a child? They don't tell you it takes the rest of your life, too, because she's 18, and before she makes this mistake, if not with her husband, with somebody else's, for lack of experience, for lack of knowledge, just out of sheer ignorance, you know?
But what if, when looks are just looks, what if she's either wrong?
I smell baggage.
Smell baggage on this?
Oh, yeah.
Kathy, are you carrying some luggage?
If she's wrong, if she's wrong... No worse for the wear, no worse for the conversation. If she's right, she's doing everybody a favor. Not just herself and her family, but the young girl, too.
Kathy.
You know, I'm,
would you open up your luggage for us and tell us what's in there?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll
dump my bag for you right
dump
here.
Your bag
right
out on the table. We're going
to
wave that wand over it and
shoes,
too.
What's
that?
I'm kind of in the same situation where there's a younger woman who's attracted to my husband. Only I'm 43, she's 30, my daughter's 14. You know, it's the same thing just in a different age group.
Okay.
But that's not to say the woman has any knowledge or experience on how to deal with it
and you,
when she does find herself in a
You've given this woman the stay away from my husband talk?
No, absolutely not.
Isn't that what you're saying?
She has to come to her, especially because she's a family friend. She has to come to her... like a mother, even maybe, you know, an older sister. Like here, I this is how I think. I this is how I see it. Tell me if I'm wrong. But if I'm right, there's ways to deal with it, and the one you might be thinking of isn't the way.
Would you do it while you're cleaning your guns on the dining room table?
You know, I got this one just in case somebody ever looks
if
at my man. If
worse came to worse, I would, you know, right. go about it in a different manner. But, yeah, especially if she's a family friend.
Thank you, Kathy. Amy. Amy is in Mercer Island. She's been a nanny for 11 years. Amy?
Hello, guys.
Oh, I was so hoping you'd be a British nanny.
Oh, well. You know, I just have to say, if that she should really talk to the husband first, because if her marriage is secure, then she should be able to say to her husband, hey, you know, I know you would never do anything like this. But, you know, I think that the nanny's been making some eyes at you, and... You know, I just hope that, you know, if she ever made a move on you, you know, I want to make sure, you know, that's the end of the marriage, you know, if you...
Oh, look
if
at
you
the... Wait.
Oh, man, Shevitz, I'll take all your stuff.
You'll be living in poverty.
That's right.
With a cardboard box on Wall Street.
I understand.
I thought your conversation was going in an entirely different direction.
Really?
Here's what I would have wanted your sentence to finish up as. If she
well,
ever,
you know, I,
oh, I'm sorry.
The nanny
me.
Should. I mean, if she ever does make a move, she should be fired off the spot. But I mean, if the husband, I mean,
hold on a second. Look, could I respond?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Amy. Here's what I was hoping you'd say. If she ever does make a move, I hope you'll think about the rest of her life and our lives and how important everything is, and that you'll actually be a positive influence on her life and
yeah,
say
but,
the right
but
things to her.
The thing is, if she is 18 years old and this guy makes good money, she could be looking at, well, hey, you know, if I can draw him away, I can be supported and he will pay my way through college. See, if something were to happen,
hey, Blockbuster
he would work
is full
out okay.
of movies about this same story.
You know what? It really doesn't happen all that much.
No, I don't suppose
so. It really
so.
Doesn't. And also, if they have somebody that they are comfortable with, of you know, overall that they trust their child with, that is really important. Hmm.
As a nanny, do you think keeping their child makes you feel a bond a little bit to a father? Do you kind of take the mama role a little bit?
Well, you know, a nanny is a third parent. I mean, the only thing is, you know, you may or may not be involved in the child's life for the rest of their life.
When shake,
you know, you,
when
you know, when the family
hey,
moves
Amy?
Away, you don't move with.
No, I know you don't.
Go, go,
Amy,
go.
When shaking a child to calm it down, how much is too much?
You don't shake a child to calm it down.
All right,
we're just checking your credentials.
One of the questions.
Just checking your credentials.
Thank
Witness
you, Amy.
Testing your ass.
Here is Tammy in Federal Way. Tammy, go ahead.
Hello. I wanted to say that, first of all, if the mother in this situation is feeling anything, follow her instincts. That's number one. Number two, I think she should talk to her husband if they have that kind of open relationship that she can talk to him about that.
So she should talk to him. What should she say to her husband?
Well, what she should say to her
Boy,
husband.
Well, that nanny's hot.
Well,
she looks
know,
just like a young Kate
I've
Hudson.
Noticed
I've noticed that.
Our nanny is... flirting with you, just straight up, you know, be honest about it.
And should she put it like in a non-threatening question, like,
I don't see that.
Have you
that
noticed?
That question is, it's not a matter of questioning. It's stating the facts, what she has seen, and just saying, you know, this is how I feel, and this is what I think we should do.
Okay. What?
You know, well, either give her 2 weeks' notice, and give herself some, or a month's notice, or whatever. Give herself some time to find another nanny for the position, and be honest with everybody. Be
for the position of flirting with me.
Well, stop
Couldn't
it now.
You just
stop
just...
it now. All right, we've heard from some of these ladies who are all freaked out, paranoid about the nanny. Both of them, I mean, appreciate what you're saying, but I'm thinking they're already like way ahead of the game. Like, she should fire, we should give her 2 weeks' notice.
Totally. What's this poor girl done? She's been human.
She's done nothing.
I made eyes when I was a babysitter, I'm sure.
Did you?
Did you really?
Yeah,
oh, let's
I'm
go.
Sure.
Let's
still
let's
doing any?
That.
You still taking any gigs?
I mean, when you're there's something attractive about older men that you don't realize. It's not in a physical way necessarily. It's more of in a
money way. Come
no,
on.
No,
sugar daddy.
No, not like that. It's just that there's something, I don't even want to say attractive, but a confident man, there's maybe as a role model, I don't know.
Well, of course there's something attractive. Here's a successful guy with a great job, with a
nice car.
Perfect family, little baby. I'm telling you, what's not to be attracted
but
to?
But it's not to say that she's doing anything consciously to try to get with him in that sense.
No, right. You know? Probably wouldn't. In fact, probably would freak out if there was any reaction. That's what I think. Let's see what this guy has to say. Paul in Seattle. Paul, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. I can't believe no one has picked up on this. I'm going to tell you what the problem is, and I'm going to tell you how to solve it. This is a typical female American who is totally insecure in her marriage. Obviously, she's not keeping her husband happy at home and in the bedroom, and if she was, there wouldn't be an issue. And the way to fix it is...
With that 18-year-old nanny.
I thought he was going to say a plasma screen TV.
Oh, from Magnolia,
from
Audio,
Magnolia
Video.
Audio Video. Go see Dennis Schlossberg tonight. Bring home a plasma screen and he'll be happy. No, go ahead.
No, she is not telling us the whole story. I mean, there's another issue there that obviously if she's concerned about someone else...
She's a cold
she's
fish.
...not doing her job as a wife. Ouch. And if she's 35 and has a 2-year-old, the way to solve the problem, and he makes more money than her, is quit the job... Stay home, be a mother, and raise the child, and you won't have the problem. That's what the issue is. But you want to give the responsibility of raising the child to someone else and then blame her for causing a problem.
That's actually a very good scenario you paint there. I'm not sure how true it is, but I think
but
that...
But I say ditto.
She's not telling us what's going on, and if she was doing her job as a mother and a wife, you wouldn't have to worry about somebody.
Well,
else.
You know, one of the things...
Typical female.
You give me uterus, and then they own the world!
I get the misogynist role-playing and all that you're doing there, and it's this whacked-out misogynist thing, but let me tell you the parts of it that make sense, the parts that don't. As soon as you say, doing her job in the bedroom, I never knew a woman who responded favorably to that.
You're right, master.
I'm just not doing my job.
I just got to learn some deep diving exercises. I worked on it for you.
I mean, it sounds real macho and all to say it, and you know, I know you feel good and you're ruffling your feathers and you're cocking your crow or crowing your whatever, but, doing your job.
Absolutely.
Just going to stay with
it. Stick to it, baby.
All right, Paul, thank you.
That's it, man.
Brian in Bonnie Lake is next. Brian?
Yes?
Go ahead, Brian.
All right.
Hey, I think she should keep her mouth shut, and I'll tell you why. We're talking about a human being that's done absolutely nothing.
Right on.
All right, not a typical American woman, a human being.
She's not an object, and this other woman's treating her like an object. Besides that, this guy is married, has a kid, he made vows. He wants to break those vows over an 18-year-old. She should let him and find out the worm he is.
That's very nice. Mm-hmm. I like all of that. Thank you. Find your inner worm. Steve in Woodinville. Hello,
write that
Steve.
Book. Don't slip, write that book. We'll be
Steve,
rich.
Steve, go ahead.
Hi, guys. I guess my opinion is that she ought to talk to her husband and have her husband have a gentle talk with the nanny.
I could see that.
She'll either find out that he is the inner worm, or she'll find out that they really have what she thinks they have.
What if the wife is just paranoid and the nanny has absolutely no interest?
Yeah.
And the nanny has no interest, and she makes eyes because maybe she's one of these girls. I mean, this is one of the things about this, too. Girls at that age make eyes at a refrigerator.
That's
I mean,
right.
They make eyes at at a palm tree. They make eyes. In other words, their eyes kind of look like that all the time.
Glazed.
That's the way
confused.
God made them. So they'd walk around, and men would go, "Wow! Drop the what do you have? A club? Drop the club. It's time to go and procreate the species." I mean, they just look that way.
If this girl is 18 and she's beautiful, I could see that it doesn't seem like there's anything wrong, and not that the woman is not doing her job in the bedroom, but it seems almost natural that you may be a little insecure about it. But if you trust the husband and have the conversation with the husband, who is the only person she has to trust because it's who she has vows with, then you don't want to bring this girl into it, because what if she's not doing anything? It makes her uncomfortable. She leaves
right.
You lose a name.
Oh, there's big danger in bringing up something that isn't necessarily true.
I got the answer.
There's a couple of things I'd have to say to that, though. First, why does looks have anything to do with it?
Because you're not going to nail an ugly nanny. Next
caller. Thank you very much. I'm sorry.
You go to uglyassnanny.com and pick up one of those trolls.
Looks has everything to do with it. Risa in Bellevue. Hello, Risa.
Hi. I just wanted to say that the husband shouldn't talk to the nanny because it will really embarrass her.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'm glad somebody finally said that.
Risa, how old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay, so you would be if you had this talk, you would be just devastated, right?
Well, if I was an 18-year-old nanny, I would be.
Sure.
Yeah. And especially if it's not true, you might even feel threatened. Yeah. It's like, man, this
may blow up a great nanny.
Yeah.
Coming on to me. Here.
I mean, she'd be mortified if I was 18 years old and the husband came and said, you know, are you flirting with me? I mean, how embarrassing would that be? Even if she was.
Especially even if she
was. Like, if you look like George Costanza. Like, are you kidding me, hairless troll boy? You know, there's only
great.
There's one
for the
person.
Nanny to respond to the guy that way. That would be great.
Oh wow, that's so good. I didn't know you were delusional. Okay, so I can sue you now. This is awesome.
Thank you, Risa. Here's Susan. Susan, what do you have to add?
Beg your pardon?
Susan, go ahead.
Oh, I think everybody needs to calm down because I think
the whole situation
is getting blown out of proportion. I think the husband already has seen the fact that she is. Got a crush on him, and I think that his choice is that he's going to blow it off, not acknowledge it, leave it alone, because crushes don't last very long. They really don't. I think the wife needs to behave like she has confidence in her husband and her marriage and herself, and be friends with the little nanny and smile at her and just be nice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know who needs to be brought in? If it gets to a point where you need to say something, if you think that the nanny's getting worse or if it's getting out of hand...
The parish pastor?
No. the answer is in the question. They're friends of this kid's parents. You talk to your girlfriend, the nanny's mom, and you say, hey, look, I think maybe your daughter's got some budding little thing for the exec over here. Say something to your daughter. Won't you think from this nanny's...
No, that kills the whole job. Right?
From the nanny's mom?
Kills friendship, kills the job, does
you
the whole
so?
Thing goes down the tubes, yeah.
I just think...
They get defensive, they defend their little girl.
Yeah,
they think that maybe...
My little girl wouldn't humble a brook.
I don't think women give men enough credit sometimes. I really don't. Like,
and
she's
you
not
know,
giving
when you're
me 18 credit.
And you're dealing with 18 and 19-year-old boys... They haven't got the software fair or the class or the respectability
the
that an older
power.
Gentleman does. And this is very appealing to a young girl.
I think I'll
oh,
God.
But it's not going to last.
All right. Thank you. I wish I knew how to display savoir faire, but I...
You know how to spell it.
I could spell it.
Do you?
Yeah. Show you later. All right, what do we have? Well, we certainly no shortage of opinions on this. Let's see. I have a nanny. Mickey has a nanny. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. I have a hot 21-year-old nanny. And I have two.
You also have a husband and a child, or is this just something that you wanted for yourself?
No, I have 2 year
I hit the lottery.
Twins, and she's been with me about 2 years.
Okay.
And I cannot live without her. And if there was anything, she is so infiltrated in my house and my life that if there was something like that looming over our situation, I don't think I could work with her. It'd be really, really, really hard.
You would actually fire her.
I think it would just be not a good fit. It just, this person is there all the time, and she's infiltrated in everything, and it's
infiltrated.
An she, yeah. It's a job. She comes as in, I'm her employer. She's my employee. She comes into the job workplace, and it's
Mickey,
just not. It's not. I couldn't do it.
Mickey, so your husband and you both work.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How old's the kid?
2 year twins. 2 year olds.
2 year old twins.
Yes.
And nanny is full time?
Nanny is way full time. Yeah, she works for me about 40 to 50 hours a week.
Nice. And is she good looking?
She's hot. Yeah.
She's totally hot.
Yeah, she's totally hot.
Who picked her out?
I did.
I don't believe that.
My husband was involved too.
I bet he was. I don't know. I kind of like that one. I know she's got a criminal record.
I listen to you every day.
I know she's eaten puppies and never had a real job before, but something about her I like.
She is amazing. She's really, really, really good.
Uh-huh.
And It would kill me if something like that started to happen, but, and it isn't about the husband. It isn't about anything like that. It isn't about trust between he and I. It just would not work.
I wish we had the dude on the phone who was telling, because he would be speaking. Excuse me. I wish we had the dude on the phone who was saying that gals like you should basically stay home and quit your job.
Oh, my
and
God.
Do your job.
I was listening on hold, and I just about went out of my chair.
You're not keeping up your end.
Oh, are you doing a good job in the bedroom?
It infuriates me. Yeah. And I found it interesting, all the men that were calling.
Yeah.
Because no. The lady is the primary person that deals with the daycare or the daycare nanny situation. I work really, really closely with her every day, and having something that like that looming over me and her would just.
You already said that. Can I ask you though? As a part of a survey here, are you doing a good job in the bedroom for the husband? Are you doing your duties there well? Are you executing and performing?
I can't even believe you're asking me.
Well, then just for the sake of
argument. I'm asking for him. I don't really want to know.
You're keeping up your end?
You're holding up your end? Well,
I'm holding up my end.
Right on.
I bring home the bacon and cook it, too.
Yeah. So he'd say, on a scale of 1 to, oh, my God, on a scale of 1 to 69, he would say you're doing very good.
Of course he would. If not, I'd slap him.
Oh, you just went to 70. Well done.
Thank you, Mickey. All right. Well, we can take one or two more calls, Mike. Who would you recommend?
You know, we have a slightly different perspective from Dave in Bonnie Lake.
Dave is on line 3. Dave, hello.
Hey, how are you?
All right, Dave, hang on a second. I got to fix this hummy thing here. That should do it. All right, go ahead, Dave.
You know, I've got some neighbors that live across the street, and they're friends of ours, and they have a daughter that could potentially be a nanny for us. And if my wife thought that this young girl was the nanny, she'd probably go over to the other mother and go, I think your daughter has a crush on my husband. What do you think of that? Ha, ha, ha. And just see how that plays out.
Ho, ho, he, he. Ha, 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 ha. I think I get what you're saying. They are friends enough so that it would be completely normal, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you hoping for this kind of arrangement to transpire?
Sorry, Joe?
Are you thinking something like this might be in your future?
No, not hardly.
No such luck. All right, thank you. And Kimmy and Kent. Hello, Kimmy.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Tina. Is this Bob Rivers?
Tina! I picked up the wrong line, but all right, Tina, you're on. You're unscreened and you're on.
All right.
I actually am calling because I actually want to thank you. I'm not calling because of the radio.
Good. Okay, thank you, Tina. Hold on. This is what happens when Mike doesn't get to the call first. Tell Tina we'll call her back later and we'll do lunch. Who is that? Someone who's tried to call you before? Do you know who that is? What is it about, Mike?
Oh, it could be about anything.
Like a color. Sounded very nice.
She's very nice. Hello, Kimmy and Kent. Kimmy.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. This is a woman who makes 6 figures. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Then I would assume that this is a very smart woman, right?
Well, not necessarily, but I suppose.
I know strippers who make 6 figures.
they're not that smart. Do you assume anyone who makes 6 figures has to be smart, I suppose?
Assume that they have climbed their way up the totem pole, and they probably have employees underneath them. That,
well, these gals he was talking about climbed a pole, but it wasn't a totem pole. Go ahead.
Anyway, what I'm thinking is that this person, this nanny, is an employee of this woman. And I think that if she is an employee of this woman, she would more than likely, like the gardener or anyone else in her employ, probably have some kind of a contract for
a performance review is in order.
Performance review, exactly. That's exactly what I'm going to say. She needs to have, maybe it's a 3 months, a 6 months, whatever time frame she's at, employment review, not necessarily a salary review, to find out where she stands in her employment. I think not only does she need to have one, she's probably entitled to have one as an employee of this woman. Mm-hmm. And I think that if she does not at this time have some type of a contractual agreement as the nanny, this would be time to put one in place. Say
contractual agreement, if you bat your eyes more than 50 times in an hour, you're fired.
Right.
See?
Well,
you still haven't gotten to the...
We're going to do away with casual dress Friday. Our new uniforms are like, collar to ankle now.
Just like any employee that's probably in her employee at her place of business, if she had an issue with her at that time, she would...
She would talk to her. All right, but you still haven't actually said how you would talk, but I got it.
Yeah, how I would talk to her is how I would talk to any other employee that was in my employ that I thought was doing something inappropriate on the job.
All right. Thank you. Inappropriate on the job. But you still haven't said what it is. It's hard to say. Here's Robin in Puyallup. Robin, you're going to thank you to everyone else who's calling, but you're going to have to be last, Robin. Go ahead.
Okay. I lived kind of both sides of this. When I was 17 years old, I boarded with a family, so I was living with them, and you know, I took care of their kids when they needed it, but I wasn't the nanny. And I was good friends with them, and at one point, just before I left, the woman came to me and said, "I think you have a crush on my husband." And I laughed because I couldn't even imagine it, and didn't think of him that way at all. But we sat down and we discussed it, and we agreed that because she was feeling that way, even though there wasn't any reason for it, that it wasn't good for their family. And so I went and found another place to live. And I appreciated her honesty and felt that she handled it well, and it would never do anything to jeopardize her family. And then when I had my first child, I had a wonderful friend of mine living with me and my husband for a while, and you know, new mother, wasn't, you know, in the shape that I had been in, and was frazzled, and I started feeling pretty insecure, and I went to my husband, and he said, "Well, gosh, you know, I don't think you're a friend that way," but I just decided that, you know, if it was my insecurity, it was my insecurity, but I couldn't operate that way. So I went to my friend and said, "You know, I think it's best for my family if you don't live in." And,
either way, the nanny loses in your scenario.
I don't know. I mean, I think it depends on if you can't jeopardize your family. Mm-hmm. And if you have the relationship...
All right, I get it. But I mean, as far as the nannies go, these poor 18 to 24-year-old
women...
No options at all. No future whatsoever.
Wherever they go, they're told, "I'm sorry.
You or a box under a bridge." Sorry.
You're just too... You're emanating...
You're too hot to work
with. Too hot.
Sorry.
Well, today was supposed to be the magic day. Mora Gallucci was supposed to hang out with the Pope, and we're going to find out if she got to do that or not. Mora Gallucci is on the phone with us from St. Peter's Square in Rome. Hi, Mora.
Buongiorno, Bob Spike and Joe.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you guys?
Oh, good, but who cares about us?
Sinning.
Did you break dance for the Pope? What happened?
Well, I was going to do a little striptease for him, but the traffic was so bad that we actually didn't get to sit in the special seats. My parents made it, and so they got up real up close. But even at that, we were down in the grandstands out in the square where we are again now. So I think we were probably about no further than 20 feet away from the Pope Mobile when he strolled through waving.
Oh, the Pope Mobile.
Nice. Yeah.
So you had a reserve seat, a shot at being up close to the Pope, and you were late?
Well, you know what? If you ever think Seattle traffic is bad, you got to come
really?
Here.
Rome,
it took us about 3 hours to go about, I don't know, maybe 30 miles.
Somebody's truck spilled a bunch of loaves of bread into the road.
Tomatoes everywhere.
3 hours to go 30 miles? Are you serious?
I'm sorry?
3 hours?
Yeah. Well, you know how you have lines on the highways in the United States, and people pretty much use them.
They're called lanes. Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. They have like 4 lanes of highway and about 8 lanes of cars.
All right. Well, let me just ask you: did you feel blessed and all that? Did you? I mean, you saw him from a distance, and you watched the Pope Mobile go by 20 feet away. First off, what does the Pope Mobile look like?
Well, it's not the one that we see in the pictures. I guess he only uses that when he goes outside of the Vatican. This is just a pretty much an open car, and he's sitting in the middle, and he's got about 6 or 8 Secret Service and the Swiss Guard surround him and walk alongside him, and he just you know, sits in his chair and waves at people, and people wave back and cheer. And it's almost like being at a sporting event, because he speaks in Italian, and then all of the cardinals that speak the different languages will speak to the people from the different countries here, and they wave and they stand up when, you know, people, you know, the
the Archdiocese of Paris, and the, you know, the people cheer, and the people from America, and the people cheer, and so it's pretty funny that way.
Now, if you were only 20 feet away, you could tell us, how does he look? Does he look of extremely frail? He looks good.
He looks so much better than we thought he would, and I heard later some lady who is from here was telling us that they were doing some medicine to help his Parkinson's, and it actually made it worse about a year ago, so they stopped the treatment that they were doing, and whatever they're working on now, whatever he's doing now, I guess has really improved, and he doesn't have the shakes, and his skin is like just like porcelain. I mean, he doesn't have any wrinkles.
No kidding.
Amazing. Yeah, well, he looks just so much better than I would have expected.
The Catholic Church can afford the best of plastic surgeons.
Is that a facelift?
Exactly.
Pope with a face. That's interesting.
How's the food over there?
Oh.
Of course.
Oh, it's so good. We just had a gelato before we called. It's just a lemon gelato, or limone, as they call it here, and it's the best ice cream on the planet.
Are you drunk right now, Maura?
No, that we're actually going to take a drive over to the ambassador's house in about an hour.
Oh.
And I plan to enjoy a little vino then.
At the ambassador's house.
Yeah, we haven't been there yet, but they invited us to dinner, and I guess it's quite an honor. I mean, it is quite an honor, and I kind of feel like the Clampett's coming to town, but we're going to go for it anyway.
Now, do they know you're a big American journalism, figure, or do they are you coming in as a civilian?
I'm going in as a civilian, as the daughter of his friend. But my dad did say he would talk to me as much as I want about anything I asked him.
How's the traveling? Did you get sniffed pretty good at the airport getting into a foreign country?
Or has Andy kept himself in check?
Yeah.
Well, in these times, I mean, you can't be too careful.
You can't be too careful.
It was actually pretty easy. I mean, it was a really long day. We were awake for 24 hours, but the travel was easy. We lucked out with the plane. We got two seats, and we weren't stuck in the middle. We had the aisle and the window, and saw a couple of movies, and it was easy, piece of cake, no babies crying and no drunk people, so it was actually a pretty easy ride.
This is this is your first experience, right, in Italy or not? Have you been there before?
This is my second experience in Italy, and first
time you've stood in St. Peter's Square, first time you've been to the Vatican?
First time to see the Pope, but the last time we were here as well, and we went through the museum. In fact, we just about an hour ago saw the Sistine Chapel for the second time. But the amazing thing about today was that it's been completely refurbished. And when we were here about 6 years ago, Andy and I had just started dating, and we went on a trip to Italy. How's that? We didn't even take a weekend trip before we went a week to Italy.
Man, it's good job, Andy, man. You can snag her.
But this time you get out of the room.
What happens in Italy stays in Italy.
Yeah, we didn't see much. No, I'm kidding. There were all these artisans, and they had scaffolding, so we couldn't see much of it.
Now, Ashcroft had them paint diapers on all the cherubs, right?
Isn't that
what they were doing?
Yeah, they have leaves on their little stuff. Yeah.
No, everybody's still gloriously naked in all those paintings, right?
Oh, yes. It's so amazing. It's just so beautiful. And I remember we were talking about how beautiful the people here are? It's true. It's just so true. They are the most beautiful, sensuous people you ever want to see. And I guess maybe it's like that around Europe, but I don't know.
Maybe it's the wine.
It could be the wine.
Could be the wine.
It's not like that in Germany.
Would you say in general, though, that they are take better care of themselves than Americans? I mean, less obesity and stuff.
We have seen quite a few heavy people, but it's kind of the way they carry themselves. They just walk differently, they all have these beautiful leather. The men have these shoes that probably cost a month's salary, and the women have these gorgeous boots and high heels, and they all tool around on the little Vespas in 4 and 5 inch heels. It's amazing.
And what about the shopping then? Are there malls like we have here, or is it different?
It's not. I haven't seen any malls. I think it's maybe because we haven't been to a place like that yet.
What are we looking at?
But it's a lot of tourist areas. It's from, you know, where we are today, all around Rome. It's just a bunch of shops and T-shirts. And we were going to find you a popener. So hopefully I'm going to bring you all back a popener.
What's a popener? I don't even know what it is.
It's a Pope-shaped bottle opener. Oh, I would love, I'd love you forever.
Oh, I thought that's what it might be.
A popener be the
I didn't think that was actually
don't
a real
toy with
thing.
Me.
Amora Gallucci at St. Peter's Square in Rome. Amora, do you feel blessed?
I feel completely blessed. I feel blessed to have this opportunity to be in Europe with my family. It'll never happen again. And I want to say, Spike's impersonation of the Pope, not bad.
Oh, it's also in the bottom
he
of
does Cologne. Sound like that.
That's the way
he does.
Yeah.
He does. It's really funny.
Well, be careful and avoid the pinchers. You know, they got lots of pinchers over there.
Oh, yeah, I learned that one, Joe. It's to keep that away, you say, non mi toki, non mi toki.
Non mi toki, don't be touching me toki. Maura Gallucci, St. Peter's Square in Rome. It's good to hear from you, Maura. We'll see you next week.
Great. Bless you all.
Ciao.
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci.
Look at that. Boy, is she loose.
Yep.
She's going to get some wine. One of them big, tall wine bottles put in the newsroom.
We'll grow some grapes in there.
Loosen her up like that here. That'd be very nice. It's 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. All right, still to come. She's running a little late. Is that right, Mike?
That is correct, yes.
Actress, comedian, and author Monique, very, very funny gal, starring in the new movie Soul Plane. Let's check news now. Casey has that for us. It's 9 minutes past eight. Filling in for Maura, who, as you just heard,
it's in the bag.
Missed her audience with the Pope because of a traffic jam. But she got within 20 feet of the Popemobile, and it's an open-air Pope. Now, see, they don't have the bulletproof glass in Rome, do they?
Not in Vatican. In St. Peter's Square, it's nothing but love there. Yeah. It's when he travels abroad that they got to worry about him.
Beijing is giving Hong Kong the finger. It's a priceless finger. It's an amazing finger.
It's a real finger?
It's one of Buddha's fingers for public display.
How do they know that?
They keep track of stuff over there in China. They've got
still got
records.
Chicken grease on it or something?
They've got
hey, Eric. When did Buddha live? Now, there's more. Is there one Buddha or more than one? I heard that a Buddha is like a generalization for
a franchise.
A franchise.
No, it's one person.
McBuddhas.
His name is Siddhartha Gautama, I believe. He was an Indian prince, and he died at about 483 BC.
Okay, so that's the main dude.
That's
but I've also heard
dude.
The whole thing about discover your inner Buddha, and that other people consider themselves Buddhas. You know what I mean? And that it's not like it's not the same as the other religions with like one God is because they don't consider him to be quite God, right? They consider
no.
him to be a very enlightened human.
Yes, enlightened. In fact, that's what a Buddha is, one person who is enlightened.
Okay.
It's just that Siddhartha Gautama was
the Buddha,
first. So
the first Buddha. Yeah. All right. So it's his finger, and the year was
483
B.C. 483 B.C. So it's obviously kind of shriveled.
Yeah, there's not a lot of meat left on it. I think it's a bone. It's a joint, basically.
Is it really? Is that all it is?
All that would be left would be the bone, I would think. Yeah.
Probably pretty much petrified at this point.
Well, it depends on how they preserved it. How do you preserve a finger?
It's not like in a pickle jar or anything. I know that.
Yeah, a bunch of juice floating around in there.
So how did this happen? Well, it's a kind of a political gesture to soothe anger over China's recent decision ruling out full democracy in Hong Kong. And now there was something a while ago about China and Hong Kong. They are
Hong Kong was owned by China. It was part of the Chinese Empire, right?
Wasn't it independent though? More independent than it is now?
Well, yes. In fact, it was a British colony until 1997.
That's what it was.
Okay. Right. And the British signed a treaty with China that basically let them rule Hong Kong until 1997. So it was 150 years. Britain took it over then in 1847.
So today, Hong Kong is ruled by China?
Yes, but it's sort of a special economic zone, so they allow capitalism to thrive there.
It's like Vegas, then.
Sort of. They have elections.
Brothels, gambling, Wayne Newton.
it's basically a shrine to banking and shopping. It's an amazing place. I suggest you go there. You can walk literally from one end to the other end of downtown, completely enclosed. They have these air-conditioned walkways going from skyscraper to skyscraper. It's just weird.
And even though it's big, it's really small at the same time, isn't it? I mean, the actual area of Hong Kong is pretty tiny, like one little island or something?
Well, that's true. It's one island, Hong Kong Island, but then it also expands into Kowloon, which is on the mainland. There are little ferries that go back and forth. There's a great subway system. But the funny thing about Hong Kong is that you can get from the city with these massive skyscrapers up to this park, which is on the top of Hong Kong Island on a place called Victoria Peak, in just a matter of minutes, and then you feel like you're out in the woods, looking down on all these massive skyscrapers below you.
Sounds cool.
And another thing they're doing, because the real estate is so expensive, they're reclaiming the land. In other words, they're taking fill dirt and they're dropping it in the ocean and building up more land. So what you thought was waterfront property might not be in a few years. So be careful what you invest
in. Where are they getting the dirt from, though?
Well, there's plenty of land around.
So they're going inland, bringing dirt, and adding shoreline.
Basically, yes.
That's weird. It sounds like, you know what, it does sound like I'd enjoy visiting there. Will they learn English before I get there so that I won't have to learn some, I mean, is there a language barrier? It's got to be difficult.
Not really, because you got to remember it was a British colony for 150
Wrong.
Years. So there's plenty of people who speak English.
They don't speak American. They speak English.
They speak English.
We won't have a clue what they're talking about in any language they put out.
So what does that sound like of an Asian guy speaking? Speaking a British accent.
Something like that. Yeah, Spike, you're not too far off.
You're kidding me.
No.
So Hong Kong wanted to be independent, and China said, sorry.
Right.
We're still going to rule you. But here's a 2,500-year-old
bone. Here's
Buddha's
finger.
To kind of cheer you up.
The relic, and by the way, I know that term, being a Catholic boy. A relic is something special from religious history. Something blessed by somebody, or usually a personal item, or even a fingernail could be a relic.
Wow.
A piece of bone. The relic is held in a bulletproof glass box, which I think is kind of ridiculous, yeah. I mean,
shoot the
oh my God, they've shot Buddha's finger! Yeah. All the humanity!
There's no reason for that.
Jackie Onassis crawling across the back of the Buddha car. It's tragic.
But it's in a bulletproof box. And obviously that's so that you don't shoot the box, then walk off with the finger.
Ah.
If it's bulletproof, the bullet will bounce off.
Right.
You can't steal it.
Okay.
And it was brought in just in time for the Buddha's birthday celebration.
Today, I guess.
Is that like Mardi Gras, Eric?
I wouldn't exactly call it Mardi Gras, but
Jello shots.
Showing
their breath.
Come on, belly shots for Buddha's birthday.
It's generally time of reflection.
Oh, belly shots.
Yeah,
that would be the way to go.
Enable.
Yeah, it's a time of reflection. You think about who you are, what you want out of life, how to make good things that you've done wrong. You pray to your altar and just try to make yourself a better person.
Saffron-robed monks escorted the finger off an airplane. The monks, the fingers got bodyguards. Isn't that weird? And they brought it to, I can't pronounce any of these, because Xianyang. Xiang Yang?
That's close enough.
Xiang Yang? Xiang Yang! That's how I do it that way.
Xi is
just
so
like you're in, like you're in South Park. Some of them speak like South Park characters, don't they? It was transferred onto a truck decorated in gold paneling and lotus flowers as the band played welcoming music. That's very nice. Wow. Do they have... So, the Pope has a Pope-mobile. Does Buddha have a finger-mobile?
Skateboard.
Is there like 9 more of these traveling around in each suit?
That's perfect.
Imagine what one would get on eBay, though. I mean, that would be a huge...
Hold on. Let's look.
It's got to be.
Buddha's finger.
You couldn't put a price on that.
I mean, there's a picture of it. Buddha died about 483 B.C. After his cremation, some historians believe Indian monks saved his bones and that a few pieces were bought to China later. The finger bone, to be displayed in Hong Kong, was among Buddha's relics discovered in an underground shelter in a temple near the ancient capital of Xi'an in central China in 1987. A senior Communist Party official was set to officiate at the opening ceremony. Someone gets to toss the first bone.
The president. Ah, I put in the dirt.
The relic is believed to bring peace and luck, in which case, I hope China gives us the finger someday.
And that was Xi'an, for what it's worth.
Xi'an is what?
The ancient capital of China.
X-I-A-N is pronounced Xi'an?
Right, it's pinyin, which is the Roman alphabet transliteration of Chinese characters. And in pinyin, X-I is the same as sh or Xi.
Got any Buddha art there online?
No, not a shot.
You search Buddha on eBay and you get nothing?
Well, I search Buddha's finger.
Well, eBay doesn't allow body parts. I forgot about that. Search
Buddha?
Buddha art. I'd like to hang a Buddha thing somewhere. I love the teachings of Buddha. We had I had one of them little pocketbooks, you know, the whole Buddha all summed up in a half an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good stuff.
Why, there's thousands of Buddha items. Little Buddhas, giant silver Buddhas, elephant Buddhas, mostly figures for your garden and whatnot.
Oh. Joe, you would probably, if you had to start over and choose a religion, you'd choose Buddha, wouldn't you?
We're similar on a lot of things. I mean, nonviolence, lots of food, you know, there's a lot of consistency there.
I heard, though, that there was some...
Buddha spoons.
There's some discrepancy with the typical statue of the very fat Buddha and, in fact, the real guy.
Yes, in fact, the reason why Buddha became Buddha is that he denied himself from earthly delights in order to achieve enlightenment. So he learned how to fast very well. In fact, he almost died because he decided to fast for so long.
And then he switched to fast food.
Food, yeah. I'm never going to be skinny again.
Was he ever really fat like that?
Yeah, actually he was. There was a time where he was a prince, an Indian prince, and he lived in a castle and he had lots of wives and he had a kid and he really indulged himself like you wouldn't believe. And so, yeah, he did become rather large, but
Then he renounced all of that.
Right.
So.
Well, he sure has a smile on his face with the fat Buddha. I mean, you ever see it, the statue? He's looks
never
happy.
See a skinny Buddha statue. It's sort of like a Santa Claus kind of a deal, isn't it?
He's very content, that's why he's smiling.